We always hear that life on Earth is fleeting, but mayflies bring this phrase to a new level. Today on episode 81 of Insects for Fun, I have loads of surprising and interesting facts to share about these incredible creatures. Mayflies are insects in the order Ephemeroptera, which is an order we haven't mentioned yet because there aren't any other insects in this order, aside from mayflies. The word ephemerata has origins from the Greek word ephemera, which means short-lived. And as it turns out, the adults are incredibly short-lived, but we'll circle back to that. Mayflies have 42 families, 400 genera, and 3,000 species worldwide. That's only 1,000 more species than the green lacewing, but the number of families and genera are much more, which tells us that many of these mayflies are so unique that they couldn't be put in shared groups. As for what they look like, well, they don't really look like any other kind of fly, to be honest. I guess they kind of resemble a slim silverfish with upright wings that look kind of like a sailboat sail. I'll try to get the photos on Instagram as soon as the episode drops. Even though these insects can be found worldwide, they require fresh water, and as a result are largely absent from island ecosystems, unless the mainland is nearby. Mayflies also have different names depending on where you live, such as shadflies or fishflies, which are the more commonly used terms in Canada and the upper Midwest United States. In the UK, people call them how they see them, and that would be the up-winged flies. The most entertaining name I came across, though, would be Canadian soldiers, which seems to be the name given to them in Ohio. The reason is because they fly in drones across Lake Erie from Canada. Apparently, the swarms in Ohio get so dense that it makes driving hazardous sometimes. But Ohio isn't the only place to have this occur. Michigan is also subject to massive mayfly swarms in the warmer months, along with other states that are near the Great Lakes. People in Pennsylvania also refer to them as Canadian soldiers for the same reasons. So what causes massive mayfly swarms like this? And why is it happening over the Great Lakes? Mayflies require fresh water for their larvae, also known as naiads, and the Great Lakes have proven to be a perfect breeding ground, which is good because it means that the lakes are healthy and their waters are in good condition. Every summer around May or June, depending on which side of the Great Lakes you live, swarms and swarms of mayflies emerge from these Great Lakes by the billions. They actually have cycles similar to cicadas, and the naiads all emerge together, creating swarms so large that they show up as weather anomalies on radars. We're talking up to 80 billion mayflies, swarming across the Great Lakes and into the coasts or even towns. When looking up just how crazy these swarms are, I came across some unfortunate news. It would seem that the populations of mayflies have been decreasing, and between 2012 and 2019, the populations of a very strong and robust mayfly, Hexagenia, declined at Lake Erie by 84%. I tried finding more recent data to hopefully prove that this is just a natural waning, and what I found is that in western Lake Erie, the mayfly populations dropped to almost zero back in 1961 and remained low until 1993 when they started booming. So it's very possible that the drop between 2012 and 2019 might not be the doom and gloom news sources want to make it. As for the synchronized emergences of mayflies, that's a defensive evolution to make it less likely for any one mayfly to get eaten by a predator, like dragonflies or small birds. Also, these swarms are primarily males, and each one is performing a special kind of dance to get a female's attention, which involves flying up and then free-falling for a short time. Females fly into these swarms of males, and mating occurs in the air for a period of seconds. Some species may stay clasped for a bit longer and slowly flutter to a perch, but generally, everything is on the wing. That being said, their most vulnerable time is when they're still naiads and trying to make it to the water's surface. These insects are loved by many fish species, other aquatic insects, frogs, turtles, crayfish, you name it. So much so that fly fishermen use them as models for their lures. In fact, mayflies are the primary model for all types of fly fishing flies. The lures are handcrafted with thread wrapped around a hook, including many other materials to create the designs of various mayfly life stages. Dry flies are modeled after the adults and float upon the water's surface, while emergers are crafted to look like naiads that are transitioning into adults. And these are slow sinkers, so you can slowly move them up the water column like the real mayfly naiads. In 1983, a man named Patrick recorded that artificial fly lures were designed from 36 genera of North American mayflies, which amounted to roughly 170 species of individual ones.
Wow.
This isn't the only time when we can see mayflies emerge in our culture, though. Mayflies have been used in art and literature for thousands of years. One famous print can be found in some European art museums, and that would be, quote, the Holy Family of the Mayfly, unquote. It's sometimes referred to as other names like the Holy Family of the Dragonfly, but the insect depicted in the bottom right corner is clearly a mayfly and not a dragonfly or a locust. In literature, the mayfly is often used as a symbol for brevity or the shortness of life, and it's no wonder why. Most adult mayflies only last 24 hours, and this brings up something incredibly unique about these insects not found in any other. Mayflies actually have one more molt, even after gaining wings and the ability to fly. Many mayflies emerge from the water as yet another incomplete form, called a sub-imago. Imago is the term we use in entomology for adults. So this first wing molt as a mayfly is called a sub-imago. In some species, this only lasts a matter of minutes, while in other species, the sub-imago stage can last a day or two. One family of mayflies, known as Palingenidae, have sexually mature sub-imago and don't attain the usual imago form at all. Other more colloquial terms would be dun for sub-imago and spinner for imago. Now there's one species of mayfly in particular where the females don't attain an imago and they only live for 5 minutes as a sub-imago. How insane is that? The American species, Dohlania americana, is a mayfly found in the southeastern United States down into Florida. And in Florida, they emerge at the end of April or early May. Now get this, the legs on the sub-imago and imago mayflies for this species are vestigial, which means they don't actually have a function. And it gets even more wild. You see, these mayflies swim to the water surface and immediately split their skin to fly off in a matter of 20 seconds. The males emerge first and molt again after 5 minutes of being a sub-imago, the females emerge soon after the final molt in males, and then males fly across rivers in search of their female counterparts. The males only have 5 minutes to find a female, which they do, and the entire population's mating is finished in 30 minutes. The males land on the water and die of exhaustion while feeding fish, and the females deposit their eggs in the stream before they too fall into the current. When the nymphs hatch from their eggs, they immediately burrow into the banks of the river and feed on the nymphs of noceums slash biting midges, and the larvae of mosquito lookalikes, known as chironomids. It's amazing to think that an entire population of mayfly can emerge and accomplish their life goals within a span of 30 minutes. The populations have to be quite local too, or else there's no way they'd survive. That being said, these mayflies aren't very common, so you'd have to be pretty lucky to find them, and you'd especially have to be in the right place at the right time to catch them when they fly. Now, unlike the adults for mayflies, which are incredibly short-lived as we now know, the mayfly naiads can live for years underwater before reaching the sub-imago stage. These naiads have two compound eyes, three simple eyes, and a pair of antennae. They're pretty well equipped for underwater vision and love to hide in the substrate on riverbeds or lake beds. They can also be found commonly hiding between or under rocks as well. As for how they can stay underwater, these naiads have gills attached to their abdomen, which are constantly pushing water past their body in a variety of directions. This not only enables the naiads to pull oxygen from the water, but it also makes them difficult to locate from predators. The diet of mayfly naiads includes a lot of detritus, algae, diatoms, and in some species, other small soft-bodied aqueous animals. In general, mayfly naiads are responsible for cleaning up bodies of water and transferring nitrates and phosphates into renewable energy for terrestrial creatures. If any of you are fish hobbyists, you know that nitrates and phosphates, along with diatoms, are not wanted in your aquatic tanks. And the same is said for natural ecosystems, which is what makes mayflies really important for maintaining clean and healthy waters. The adults don't feed on anything, which explains why they don't live very long at all. They don't have a lot of bulk either, unlike cicadas and giant silk moths, which can last much longer on their energy stores. When mayfly naiads are ready to finally molt into subimagos or imagos, they have various strategies depending on the species. Some naiads will actually stay underwater and molt into their subimago state before swimming to the surface, while others crawl out and molt as seen with dragonflies. Some of the mayfly naiads swim to the surface and then molt out of their skin right there on the water, as seen with that crazy American species mentioned earlier, and they use the shed skin as a launch pad to fly away. This goes back to what I was saying earlier about how there are many genera and families, and as a result, many mayflies have unique traits and habits that can't be grouped together. Before we end the episode, I have some fun mayfly trivia to share. The first is a special event in Hungary and Serbia, where people gather to watch the emergence of the giant mayfly, Palingenia longicata. This tourist attraction is known as the Blooming of the Tisza, because the emergence occurs on the Tisza and Marcos rivers in Eastern and Central Europe. The second fun fact is that the shoe brand Nike used mayflies for their marketing by producing a line of shoes called Mayfly back in 2003. The shoes had the mayfly wing venation pattern and were advertised as having a finite lifetime slash availability. And honestly, I think that's gonna cover it for today's episode on mayflies. I hope you guys learned some cool new facts, and a big thank you goes to Harry O'Meara for being our newest Patreon member. If you're interested in checking out the Patreon, you can find it at patreon.com/insectsforfun. And if you haven't yet, please make sure to rate and review the podcast. Reviews on Apple go especially far, but if you listen on other platforms, by all means rate and review there if you can too. You can reach me at insectsfordummies@gmail.com. And of course, there is the Instagram and Facebook pages, which you can find by searching Insects for Fun. Thanks again for listening.